Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh, all right.
Out on the streets, I'm stalking the night. Hacking me in my heavy breathing.
We can't do.
Hey, for the kill, but it doesn't seem right. Something there I can't believe in.
Yeah, I think he was 45.
Was he really?
Yeah, he would have had to
have
been.
Some of the
early
stuff when you could understand
this
him.
This is where he has like the permed mullet and all the makeup and knee pads.
So, yeah, the whole world. I think we got a good hook coming, right, don't we?
Yeah, sorry. It's a what?
It just sounds like the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Shot in the Dark, sure it was. It was right before
so
his
Ozzy
lead
Osbourne,
song.
Of course, passed away at 76. Long time coming, of course, we knew. You know, had a pretty rough life. A guy who, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier in the show, but it wasn't like my music, but for me, Ozzy was always, you know, there's a couple of songs that I know really well. And then he was like, I remember as a kid, you know, hearing about the rats, you know, the bat story. Did he really? Did he not? Did he what? You know what? You know,
he says it was a rubber bat.
Well, and then I heard it was, he thought it was a
real
rubber
bat,
but it was a real, I don't, whatever. But that became the thing. Like, that was his define, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a whole carnival atmosphere. And I think he helped cultivate that with the metal music. I know. And then you had all those 80s prissy hair bands that
right.
are just insufferable when you get to interview them in the 90s and 2000s.
Pretentious, self-absorbed.
Oh, my God. Still driving around in their Kix van. Dudes, I have so many stories about all those buttholes.
And you, I mean, when you used to, so Candy, who used to work in the
Yeah,
hard
I worked in rock radio forever. I worked at DC 101. I worked at a bunch of rock stations.
And you got brought here to work at TK, and right?
Yes.
And so you've been around that block a lot.
Yeah, I came here for the interview and just fell in love with the town and just... And took a 50% pay cut. And
here you are.
I know, here I am. My good liberal arts education. I'm so good at this.
Hey, we both have that going
yeah,
for us.
Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah,
it's
I knew
an interesting
Ozzy
thing to
it.
Think about. Like, Ozzy's place in the world, because what at one time was, you know, kids playing it in their basement secretly and not telling their parents
right.
they bought an Ozzy, you know, because their church-going parents would have been so upset.
Sure, then he became this whole brand.
Yeah, and then having the TV show.
Sure.
And now... All the kids who grew up listening to him secretly against their parents' wishes and sneaking smokes in the basement
are old as hell.
Are now like county commissioners and radio hosts.
And
business
they
owners.
Absolutely
and,
are.
You know,
I see you, Jared Moore.
It's respectable. Yeah, exactly. You know, Colton Wright. I'm thinking like,
oh God, Colton. Yeah.
These are the, you know, these are the people who run the world now, and so every generation, right? Every generation. Likes music that its parents hate. You know, their parents hate. And,
sure.
you know, the parents think, oh, you're ruining civilization. And then eventually you grow up and you're like, it didn't. Or maybe it will, you know, one day. You know, the old Plato's theory a long time ago was that you should never put the, you know, only the most qualified, educated, experienced people should be in charge of the culture. And, of course, we have decided long since that we're going to put 12-year-olds in charge of the culture. And it doesn't always work out great for us. We'll see whether TikTok or anything else destroys us. But, you know, this intergenerational strife over music is longstanding since, I mean, gosh, at least the 30s. Every generation
sure,
likes music.
Sure, wasn't Chuck Berry going to rule the world, probably?
Right, and then it was Elvis.
Yeah,
and
never
then
mind
it was,
the bathroom cameras.
And then it was
is
all
the
hippies,
same guy?
And then it was the hard rockers, and then it was, you know, and then it was, you know, Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, you were religious later
was,
in life.
WAP,
did you ever have to go
stuff?
To those, like, oh, it's Satan music, and if you play it backwards, it's backmasking
no, so
classes
was
when
raised
you were
in
middle
a,
school?
Like a liberal Christian household. I was not raised in a restrictive Christian household.
Okay.
So the, you
like
know,
candy.
That's what the devil, like, yeah. So when I got born again, there are a lot of people in my community, in my religious community, who think, you know, like cards is of the devil. I'm like, well, I played cards my whole life, you know, or who think that, because
no,
it's
know,
like tarot cards, or people who think that the, you know, yeah, Quentin Tarantino is of the devil, or the, you know, the music that you listen to. You like Nine Inch Nails? Well, yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
These
so are the
same I kind of take
that, okay,
with a,
like,
I take that with a grain of salt.
Screwing other people over on property, too, by the way, but whatever.
A different story, maybe for...
I know that it is, but I'm saying, like, nobody's perfect. If music is the problem, then okay, what a small issue.
So it's interesting to me to see that, you know, at this point, if I were in, you know, Winn-Dixie or Grocery Advantage or Publix or Walmart, and I suddenly heard a Black Sabbath song over the PA,
yeah, you feel old.
I probably wouldn't notice. The other day, I heard Love and Rockets, So Alive, and I thought, oh, and this means I need to sit down and check my knees, you know?
Yes.
But that's where we are. It's just no big deal. It was the vanguard of cultural offensiveness, you know, 40 years ago, and now it's just, you know, Mom, what's that old music you're listening to?
Right. So, and I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Sharon, he'd be dead in a ditch somewhere in the 70s.
Said, right, which he said, I mean, many times is, you know, in the fact that joint interview where they talked about that.
Yeah. Sharon's my heart and soul. If it wasn't for Sharon, I would be dead long ago. I wouldn't have lost it.
And me too. He saved me and I saved him.
I think probably more she
more
saved
she
him.
More she saved him and
from
got
the
all that
drugs
money
and alcohol.
For Ozzy and Minnie.
I still think the story about her dad is fascinating.
Oh, Don?
Let's do traffic real quick, and we'll come back to this for a second.
Yeah, roads are fine. They were showing an accident on Softly Field, but not a roadblock at this time. It looks like a pretty easy way if you're getting your way over your bridge to Pensacola NAS in the front gate. It is backing up a little bit like it usually does this time of day. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text us at 437-1620. It's sponsored to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family, serving your family since 1929. For more info on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. That's KNOX, Knox. Knocks them out like bats or Aussies
or whatever.
Get rid of them. Or other metal fans in your house.
Part of the reason that you know, Candy, we just kind of got lucky because you've been filming for John Pickens.
Yeah.
And tomorrow he'll be back, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But we miss you also. So
I mean, I'm right across the hall. Just.
But part of what I wanted to bring you in today specifically is because this is more your world than
mine.
Yeah,
I got to interview Ozzy a bunch of times, and we interviewed his whole family when that Osbourne show came out, and it really helped personalize, because you do,
they're people.
It's hard to not think of him as the Prince of Darkness. Then you see him like running out of toilet paper and slapping his kids, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. He didn't slap the kids, but they were so sweet. On the show, they were brats, but
I still think the story about her and him and his contract is wild to me. So what, Black Sabbath fires him, but her dad still owned the contract.
Still owned John Osborne, Ozzy Osborne.
His real name, John.
And he had a kid by another chick, and she was like, this is my man, we're getting together, they're each other's lobster, as Brent would say.
And she took over.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, good luck. Yeah, good on you. Here's this guy, sister. And she took him and turned him into a whole brand.
And the dad had owned the contract and gave it to her as a wedding gift. Mm-hmm. And then she turned around and sold it to somebody else. And were estranged forever because of it.
Right.
Just all the weird,
human drama stuff. That's a family business. Whenever you talk to anybody in a family business, there's always...
There's weird
stuff.
Oh, my
God, I love rich stuff like that. You're never allowed to bring it up on Pep Talk.
Oh, well, here we are. 7:18 on News Radio 92.3.
Stick that in your pipe, Meg. No, I'm just kidding.
Local, dependable.
There is, though. There's stuff in every family business.
Absolutely. What did I say, 7:18? I'm Andrew.
It is 7:18.
And that's Candy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you done?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janie King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janie King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive. Take control of your future today at JannieKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the King of Clean. Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 923.
No, it's the truth. I'm telling you, you gotta help me. Don't leave me here. I'm in hillbilly hell. My IQ's dropping by the second. I'm becoming one of them.
First of all, update on garbage recycling. I just wanted to give some kind of data of where we are right now. Yesterday, we collected 5,300 cans out of a quarter of our 21,000. Our team's put in 316 hours of overtime since July 14th, since this change has taken place.
Wow, being up to 25% is actually really good. Out of 21,000 homes, the last we had heard it was 1,400. So being at 5,300 recycling cans is actually a lot of progress in a very short amount of time for the city. But the mayor definitely acknowledging that things could have been done better, especially in the cutback to one-day-a-week service.
That being said, as you guys, I think most of you have reported already, certainly communication happened. I want to be clear in that. That started with June. There's mail that went to everybody. Communication in this press conference, I believe I outlined some of that. But the fact is, it certainly wasn't up to something that I pay messaging and be playing offense, and messaging is something that I feel overall we've done a pretty good job of in these few years that we've been here. And it certainly wasn't up to my standard. So buck stops with me on that. But I can tell you, we're out as we speak trying to handle that.
Yeah, and I think we all appreciate somebody saying, look, whoever really was responsible, we tried, we did some good things, but we didn't do it well enough, and that's ultimately my responsibility. I'm the mayor. The buck stops with me.
We have our team right now exploring what our options are in terms of a bill credit or something like that to all of our customers, because whether they got the message or they read the mail or they didn't read the mail, regardless of that, it wasn't up to our standard, And so we are looking into what the details of that will be in terms of bill credit. We just didn't want to rush something out that didn't make sense. So more to come. We'll definitely have an answer for you, if not by the end of this week, but next time I see you.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. I want to talk with the mayor about this in about 15 minutes, but I don't know that a bill credit accomplishes anything, and here's why. I get where he's coming from, because he's a business owner at heart, right? And so when you screw something up, you offer people money to make it up for it. Your food wasn't good, I'll comp it off your bill. That drink was terrible, I'll comp it off. That's what you do. You offer somebody a credit. Offering all of the citizens of the city a credit on their bill for it's kind of like offering you your own money as compensation for you not having a good time with the recycling. It's a weird one. I get the impulse. I'm just not sure that's the solution, but I'm going to ask him about that coming up shortly. Also, apparently the contract to buy that old dilapidated medical building on North Palafox and, get rid of it finally. Oh, my God. look at this. It's going to happen. 724 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. The Department of Justice wants to set up a meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell, a longtime associate of Jeffrey Epstein. According to Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, he has communicated with Maxwell's counsel to determine whether she's willing to speak with prosecutors. Maxwell, of course, currently serving a 20-year prison sentence. The U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration was apparently breached by this week's hack of Microsoft's SharePoint document management software. That's the agency that maintains and designs the country's nuclear weapons. The breach, reported by Bloomberg, did not compromise sensitive or classified information. And a doctor charged over actor Matthew Perry's death is expected to plead guilty today in federal court. The Department of Justice says Dr. Salvador Plasencia will plead guilty in Los Angeles to four counts of distribution of ketamine. He could get up to 40 years in prison.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Candy now with traffic on the fives.
All right. Watching an accident at Navy in New Warrington. The road is blocked, so use caution there. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know at 437-1620. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic at this. They do a lot of transactions, which means a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge of the market, you know, of about four homes every single week, 165 last year, 175 the year before that, over 200 the year before that. So they just over and over and over again are making transactions happen. And, you know, when the market changes, they're aware of it. And even some things that, you know, if you haven't done a real estate transaction in a few years, things that might come as a surprise to you, like because of insurance changes in the state of Florida, whether you have to, you know, replace an air conditioning system or a roof or, you know, the water heater. You say, what? The water heater, it works fine. Well, you know, but it's been 12 years or 10 years or whatever. And the point is, when you're selling and then the buyer says, well, we need you to do this, and then should I or shouldn't I? Well, you want to have somebody on your team that really knows, oh, that's totally normal. Or no, they're way out of bounds asking that. You don't have to say yes to that. Like, that's the kind of experience that you get with Christina Leavenworth and her team. 786-3996 or Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, this was just a little bit of a follow-up. We've kind of mentioned it, but, you know, the death of Malcolm and Jamal Warner, of course, Theo Huxtable, drowned off that Costa Rican beach. No lifeguards, rip currents, red flag warnings, and posted signs saying the beach is not safe. These are the things we always warn you about. This is why I have Dave Greenwood on every week to remind you that the, you know, Gulf waters, you know, these are dangerous waters and things can happen. And even a fairly healthy, fit person can have trouble. Like, he got dragged out in a rip current. And people tried to save him and they got to him too late. It's why you swim by lifeguards. It's why you can't assume that just because I'm in fairly good shape, I'm going to be okay no matter what the circumstances are. Also, very interesting story about the FCC chairman responding to all the Stephen Colbert stuff, because it's, you know, like Jon Stewart, I can barely play you anything from Jon Stewart's comments on Monday about getting rid of Stephen Colbert. Of course, his show goes through, what, next March, April, something like that, May anyway. But the FCC chairman, and remember, the FCC is made up of a panel of five people, two of the minority party and three from the majority party, so he's a Republican. But FCC chairman Brendan Carr, after all of the, you know, talk about how they're getting rid of Stephen Colbert and, you know, because he's a liberal, because he attacked Trump, all this stuff. And he says, the partisan left's ritualist wailing and gnashing of teeth over Colbert is quite revealing. They're acting like they're losing a loyal DNC spokesperson that was entitled to an exemption from the laws of economics. Ouch. But there has been some of that. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Kimmel is very anti-Republican, and Colbert is very anti-Republican, and NPR and PBS are at least mildly anti-conservative. I would say a little more than that, depending on the subject. This comes as somebody who has listened to NPR for years and years and years. You know, when the cuts to public broadcasting come, just the slice of it that comes from the federal government, and then Stephen Colbert is, you know, in the future getting canceled. Again, liberals are, I mean, they're outraged. Jamie Lee Curtis, who, she's a great actress, but she says, they just cut NPR and, you know, public broadcasting. Yes, they're trying to silence people, but that won't work. It won't work. We'll just get louder. Okay. you also have Senator Elizabeth Warren on X says, CBS canceled Colbert's show just 3 days after Colbert called out CBS parent company Paramount for its $16 million settlement with Trump, a deal that looks like bribery. By the way, they're involved in an $8 billion merger deal. And there is, I mean, this is what Jon Stewart was saying, is this looks like them paying off the Trump administration in advance. You know, we'll get rid of Colbert and you'll let our $8 billion deal go through. Let's see. He said, Bernie Sanders says, Stephen Colbert, an extraordinary talent, the most popular late night host, slams the deal days later. He's fired. Do I think it's a coincidence? No. But then again, I mean, even Jon Stewart himself acknowledged that it's not a revenue-making endeavor. You know, they have been losing money. He what was his line? He compared it to a Blockbuster kiosk inside a Tower Records, his late night talk. okay, so if it's not making money, then you either do it differently or you do something different. And apparently that's the direction CBS is going. So I personally don't know that you need to read all that much into it, but those are kind of the perspectives for you that the people who are outraged. But again, it is interesting that people are yelling and screaming because they feel like they're losing their partisan voice, right?
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump blames former President Obama for sparking the bogus Trump-Russia collusion probe from 2016.
Obama's been caught directly. And what they did in 2016 and in 2020 is very criminal. It's criminal at the highest level.
Fox's Griff Jenkins has a rebuttal from an Obama spokesperson.
These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. Nothing in the documents issued last week undercuts the widely accepted conclusion that Russia worked to influence the 2016 presidential election but did not successfully manipulate any votes.
A speech on artificial intelligence.
Infrastructure, innovation, and global influence. The White House intends to crack down on state laws seen as too restrictive to let the American AI boom flourish.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. The president speaks later today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning, a little bit warm today already, 83 degrees. The heat index hitting 97 degrees. We'll get more with Brooke Richardson and our forecast in just a few minutes. Some Navarre residents concerned after the federal raid on a local lawn care business yesterday. Happened at Emerald Coast Lawns on Highway 87. ICE and other federal agents raided the business, reportedly found people in the country illegally.
This is not okay, and we don't want this happening in our neighborhoods.
That is BJ Brunius, who talked to Channel 3, and he called the raid traumatic emotionally, physically, and spiritually for him. Local law enforcement, including FHP and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, were on hand supporting their federal partners, and there's no word yet on how many arrests were made. Santa Rosa County Commissioners discussing the possibility of doing something a little bit different with retention ponds.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I would suggest, if we really want the spirit of what a conservation community, what we're trying to accomplish, I would say that retention ponds not require a fence, and we encourage to minimize the slope construction or something so to serve more as an amenity or a water feature.
And that is Commissioner Colton Wright from a meeting earlier this month, and he said using that gradual slope and leaving out the fence would enable developers to use the ponds as a feature or an amenity. It would be easier to maintain and all around look better. Wright said he was recently on a trip to Orlando where retention ponds weren't fenced off and were more of a part of the landscape. County officials say that idea is currently being worked on by a task force. Well, it looks like reports of a stabbing near a Planet Fitness yesterday may not have been entirely accurate.
What has been reported is a stabbing or a person was attacked at a Planet Fitness on Mobile Highway. When checking with the shift commander, we discovered that that's not exactly what happened. That did not happen at Planet Fitness. He happened to call from the front of Planet Fitness. And also what he was reporting is that, is a bunch of balderdash.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, he said the man reported he was attacked with a machete while attempting to buy drugs at a nearby drug house. But investigators believe he may have simply fell and hit his head on some rocks while severely inebriated. An investigation into that incident is ongoing. Governor Ron DeSantis wants to investigate an increase in government spending in Alachua County. The governor announcing yesterday that Florida's DOGE team will be investigating the city of Gainesville. He said the city's recently hiked taxes on property owners over 85% in the last 4 years. He also said their city budget has expanded by about $90 million a year. The governor says they haven't explained or justified any of that spending. The executive director of the new State Board of Immigration says Florida sheriffs will soon be making independent immigration arrests. Larry Keefe also said yesterday state law enforcement officials will be announcing a plan to utilize available county jail bed space for immigration enforcement.
57 of which are run by sheriffs, 10 of which are run by counties, to where those beds
will always be made of, when, as they come clean and are available, will be put into play with all of the logistics work along with the transportation.
And the governor did say that while the state is assisting in immigration operations, it's the federal government's responsibility, especially for housing and processing illegal immigrants. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Candy's got our traffic on the fives.
I do, and it looks like everything's running smoothly so far, not showing any problems except for Navy and New Warrington in Pensacola. Busy intersection, as you know, David. Road is blocked, so use caution. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slow down this morning.
Thank you very much, Candy. Yeah, definitely always a lot of people driving around over there. 735, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a rain chance increase today. 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Thursday, 80% chance of rain, high near 90. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping rain chances high on Friday with an 80% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And already a warm morning, 83 degrees around the area. The heat index up to about 98 degrees right now. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Reuters reports shares of Japanese automakers surged after Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba said that U.S. auto tariffs were lowered to 15% from the current 25%. Japan's Honda stock jumped more than 11% upon the news, while Toyota surged over 15%. Nissan also jumped over 9%. Mazda Motor surged over 17%. Hershey said it is raising prices on its candy by double-digit numbers because of historically high cocoa costs. That increase reflects a higher list price as well as adjustments to the weight and number of candies in a bag. The practice is known as shrinkflation. Kohl's shares soared as investors piled in amid renewed exuberance for so-called meme stocks. The struggling department store stock price jumped nearly 38% to close at $14.34 per share. Futures are moderately higher after President Trump announced a trade deal with Japan. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 179. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered Swan Capital, LLC.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone every Wednesday at this time, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Let's start with recycling. I've just shared with the audience all of your comments yesterday about taking responsibility for it, saying, you know, you guys did some but could have done better. Big projects have mistakes. By the way, I thought the getting to 25% in basically a week from having been at 1,400 to 5,300, that's a pretty good accomplishment. So kudos for that in terms of participation rates. The one comment you made yesterday that I think I disagree with, and I wanted to talk with you for just a second, is you mentioned that you might do a credit, like a basically a financial compensation for your pain related to this. And I didn't really understand that. I get it where you're a businessman, you know, and when you're running a business and something goes wrong, you help people out by giving them money back, right? It's a good impulse. But as the mayor, aren't you basically giving the customer back their own money in order to compensate them for their pain and stuff? It doesn't quite fit for me.
Well, appreciate the question, and I think whether you own a private business or the city government, in essence. But the reality is, if you divide up how many pickups you get by how much you pay per month, and that pickup didn't happen, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a fair discussion to just say, hey, yeah, sure, some relief of, you know, on someone's bill when we didn't have the proper service, and that we wanted to have some type of service recovery. I don't think I get your point about, hey, well, the dollars flow in and out,
right,
you know, government wise. But I also think, one, it's a little different because this is an enterprise. It is run differently.
Okay.
This is not like Park and Rec, you know, I mean, the same way the airports run differently, you know, and Pensacola Energy's run. I'd love to make the same case of Pensacola Energy after the lawsuit over 10 years, you know? So I hear you, but I just feel like, you know, if nothing else, I think because even that bill credit is not going to be a lot of money to someone, you know, to most people, it might be to some. But the reality is, I think it's more symbolic of saying, hey, we understand that this could have been, you know, handled better.
Okay.
That being said, I had the biggest epiphany that I think I've ever had in a town hall. Not I didn't have it. I guess maybe I learned something. And this is, I think it kind of,
this is last night,
sense of like,
you and Jen Brer.
Last night. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I know we're going in the right direction. In this case is that we were trying to fix a broken system. And I was given the two choices of doing what we're doing now and stopping and restarting recycling so it actually works, or I could have knowingly prolonged a completely ineffective recycling. And when my rate was going to triple to drop it off at the MRF, that was going to be passed on. So we were going to end up in the exact same place we were in financially per month, except I would have been sleeping at night knowing it's not working, but just not wanting to ruffle any feathers or get to where we're getting now. So through that pain and through that anxiety and the anxiety of two changes and all that stuff, I still know we're going the right direction. And here's why. We found out there was a lot of frustration, especially in the Scenic Heights area, about going down to one garbage pickup per week.
Right,
and
right.
It was really baffling to me because I'm like, well, I mean, we only were picking up garbage twice for 18 months. I mean, you hear these people and you're like, man, it's like you were taking away something. And I kept saying, well, you know, respectfully, for generations before that, we were just getting it picked up once a week. What's the issue? Well, to come to find out in 2016, for years, up until I think at some point Mayor Robinson's tenure, they were picking up this one neighborhood twice a week and recycling, but they were just taking the garbage and putting it in the recycling. So in other words, there was extra service being provided to a neighborhood that no one knew anything about. No one, like none of my staff. None. And so it's like, aha, now I see why everybody's frustrated. They were getting provided service years ago that didn't even exist. And so anyway, it's just a good microcosm of this, the all the change. And again, certainly we want to be accountable to our residents and the 21,000 customers. And we're trying to make that right. We certainly are well on our way. We're on track. We're back on stat. We continue to hammer the communication about what your trash day is. So you heard me yesterday, and I appreciate you playing that. You know, we've got to own to have a good standard of how we message things. But I feel that we're back on the right track and we're really getting our department turned around.
And that was actually, you know, I always like to predict? You know, what's this person likely to say? And I thought, well, I bet DC comes on and says, we did some things right, we did other things we really could have done a lot better, and I'll take responsibility. And that's exactly what you said yesterday. So I feel like I know you a little bit, and that's what I expected out of you. So we're talking to Mayor Reeves. Hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
All right, accident on Navy in New Warrington. If you see, and it looks like a roadblock too, but plenty of workarounds on that area. 437-1620. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
Something else I know is Candy wants to say hi to DC.
I love you, DC Reeves. You are doing such an amazing job.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that.
I know, dude. I know. No, I usually just listen to my car.
Andy and Candy are back.
That's
it.
We're Andy
yes,
and Candy.
That's right.
It's your favorite thing, Andrew.
Just a 3-day miniseries is all this is for now.
I have stalked your house though since, and I love your house, DC Reeves.
Thank you. I knew that was pent up in you.
No, but you're doing a good job, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Back to Mayor Reeves. The one thing you announced yesterday that came is I'm like, oh my God, look at this. The medical facility on Palafox, that old, ugly, dilapidated building that ECUA bought and had done it so they could have that containment facility for the overflow if the lift station fails. And it's just been an eyesore every time you drive past it. It's not the welcoming, hey, welcome to cool Pensacola. We've done all this stuff. But you're going to buy it and demolish it, I assume?
Yeah, we assume the same. We definitely are excited for that. I feel it's the, as I said in my press conference, the symbol of commercial blight, I think, within the city limits. You know,
yeah.
This hospital has been sitting there forever. It's been sitting there since I moved back home from college, although I don't think it was even being used. And yeah, we're paying about $1.2 million. Good news is it's all 100% grant funded through the Hollis T. Williams grant. So this is not coming out of, you know, I just told our town hall folks last night, if there's one misperception in that I deal with on a daily basis, it's the how things are funded. So like anytime there's ever an announcement about any Palafox Street about buying a building, there's so much confusion, understandably, honestly, like how is a citizen going to be able to follow all this? But my advice to them was don't make an assumption because you see the city or the county or anyone spending X million dollars that means that can easily be transferred to whatever your priority is. That is not the case, and it usually isn't 99% of the time, and this is another one of those examples. This is fully grant-funded. This is not coming out of any general fund, not coming out of local office sales tax. So, number one, we're excited about that. Number two is that we paid the price per acre of vacant property, ultimately, is and there has to be an appraisal, and this is Florida Commerce-type grant money, So all of those controls are in place, and so we are super, super excited to be able to get this symbol of commercial blight that has been sitting there for years, dilapidated. We get calls because somebody's on the roof. We know it's a major eyesore for really two neighborhoods. You know, you got the East Side neighborhood to the east, and you've got North Hill to the west. And
yeah.
So to be able to finally, after years, I mean, these are two out-of-state owners that aren't the easiest to get a hold of. I mean, I've been doing this negotiation personally for months alongside our team, and just even be able to get people on the phone has not been easy. And so we are excited for that. And people are pointing out, well, hey, you know, they bought it from ECUA for $75,000, which from a government standpoint certainly is frustrating. And I was not there. I don't know if it was offered to the city or something like that at that time. But we are where our feet are. You know, so my choice is not buy it or buy it for what the assessed property value is. So there's lots of folks saying, well, why would the city buy it for $1.2 million when it was only $75,000? Well, pretty simple. The same reason you wouldn't sell me your house for what you paid for in 2016,
right,
or that if your grandmother gave it to you and she paid $30,000, you're not going to sell it for $30,000. Anybody that's ever dealt in real estate whatsoever understands that. So I'm not going to get lost on what someone paid for something 10 years ago.
Even at that, I mean, ECUA, I guess, the P&J article I was reading yesterday, the ECUA had bought it $600,000 earlier that year. So really, it's ECUA that sold it at 90% of a loss. And now, you know, I mean, if it had been $600,000 then and $1.2 now, I mean, that's barely market improvement. So it's exactly. Really the choice by ECUA to offload it so cheap, I think, is what creates this, you know, seeming profiteering for them. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, if it's a good deal, it's a good deal no matter what somebody's making off of it. So, but this is going to be part of the stormwater project. This is like the north end of the stormwater project, right?
Exactly. So it's 2 acres, and it's a big part of We knew that getting this piece, and again, there's still some what ifs. There's environmental things that happen. We expect it to be. There's some environmental issues. There's still some communication that's got to happen between. So that's why I said yesterday, cautiously optimistic. We certainly have an agreement in principle. We know that. But there's some other hurdles to deal with. But
can I pause you? Can I pause you on that? Because you make me think of something that I know for the longest time, the Baptist Project was hung up over the concerns about discovering that there would be massive remediation costs and the unknown around that. Yes. This is also a medical facility. Is not the same level of uncertainty present?
Yeah, probably so. Well, actually, I guess, is there uncertainty present? Yes, there's absolutely uncertainty present. Now, what we're saying is we expect that there's going to be. It would be unfair and irresponsible to say, oh, we assume there's no issue here, given the date of the construction, right? I mean, so we expect there to be some. We obviously have some due diligence period to be able to get in there, and then we can assess what we want to do from there. But you know, as Tom Murphy from the old mayor of Pittsburgh, very successful in helping turn around Pittsburgh, always said, you know, you control the dirt, you control the future. You can and so, you know, the city being able to get in there, and now we're not beholden to decisions of people from New York that own it, but in fact that the city, regardless. So if it stays up a couple more years, or we go find funding for it, like the Gibson School, same thing. You know, hey, if we control the future of Gibson, we know that it won't fall into the wrong hands or into the wrong decision. So I think that's really job number one right now.
So many things going on. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I did want to take a second to at least do a little bit of credit. The LinkedIn's top 25 cities on the rise, Pensacola, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even more exciting for us is the fact that it's not just top 25 because it's a nice city. It's top 25 of basically wanting to attract talent here. And since I've started, I've said, hey, you know, the best asset we can have is for our young people to want to stay here and want to move here. And so I take extra pride in the fact that the measurable was, where are we seeing job creation and where people want to go? And so to be the only city in Florida that's in that, and then the top 25 is awesome.
Well, and chicken and egg is not quite the right thing I'm looking for here, but if you make a city appealing to attract talent, talent will then demand that the city continue to do great things, which will make it a better city, which will then attract talent. Like, it's a feed cycle, sure. Right? So the kind of citizens that you want here are the kind that we're attracting, which is why it's kind of it's a neat metric to achieve on. Project that came up in city council, it's a little thing, but I think sometimes little things make a big difference. Improving the entrance on the north end, not the north end really, but when you're coming down I-110, you get off on Garden, there's all that kind of ugliness. And now we're going to be putting up a larger fence, more foliage, trying to clean up that intersection of Garden, South 110, Alkenes, that area, right?
Yeah, and this was solely, and CRA is going to get it executed, and Erica and Victoria are doing a good job getting that pushed through. But it really comes down to this. If you want to hearken the best comparison of me being a business owner before, is what does the customer see? Mm-hmm. What does our visitor see? What does our resident see? And the fact is, most people that are going to be coming in from out of town that come in downtown are getting off on that ramp. And what message have we been sending for years? You know, of the neglect and how it looks on the right, and that, you know, broken fence and dead plants. And, you know, and I joked at the IHMC opening when the new building, I said, well, thanks for at least, you know, helping us improve this landscape some.
Right.
So, because you can see it when you come right off the ramp. But, you know, FDOT did the garden medians in the last couple of years that look way better than they did before. And so it's nothing complex. It's as simple as that. Is I want you as a resident or as a visitor, or when your family comes into town, to get off in downtown and say, hey, this feels nice. And there's really no other science to it other than that. And that's just kind of back to my business days of saying, what does the customer see? What's that first impression when they come into the city?
Paint and landscaping is better than blight and chain link fences and broken down things. And understanding that is a big part of how you transform the appeal of a city. Quick questions, lightning round. We always like to end with the quick questions for the mayor. How do you answer the phone? Do you say hello, and do you speak first when you're answering the phone?
Do I know the person?
Let's say no.
I say no. I just say I'm not gonna. Hey, what's going on? You know.
Okay.
I don't say hello. Like I don't pretend like I don't know who it is. I always
say it's not formal. Okay, very good. With the
this
passing,
like I'm not gonna say like this is DC. You know, when I know it's Andrew calling.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, buddy. With the passing of Ozzy, I have to ask you this question. I have no idea what the answer is. What's the hardest rock album DC Reeves owns?
Man, you know, I wasn't as hardcore as Andrew McKay. You know, you know, 97, you know, WABD, you know, and of course once Cat Country came out, then I changed over to that full time. I was never a metal guy. I mean, it would have to be like Pearl Jam or something, which doesn't even count.
All right. Well, it's sort of, it's not exactly in that vein. It's driven by other events, but I do have a question. It's a little bit personal. Have you ever been to a Coldplay concert? Or been on the Kiss Cam?
I have not. I don't. Why does that feel incriminating to ask me that now? No, sir. I absolutely have not ever been to a Coldplay concert.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for the time on Wednesday. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Amy and Candace.
Oh, my God. We should definitely do a Kiss Cam video, but we're not going to. All right. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. It would have to be you holding me, though.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It looks like everything is fine except for New Warrington and Navy Boulevard. Busy, busy intersection. And it looks like that does have an accident. There is a roadblock this morning. And 437-1620, you can call or text if you see that accident or slow down otherwise.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You're at the age where you're ready to retire. You're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all of your life, and now it's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there is one you'd really want to know more about. Tune in tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in either retirement community. You'll be glad you did.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 7th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 15th, in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
You will hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000.
This year, help us raise funds for supporting our childhood cancer patients with a lit laser.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Walmart and Sam's Club.
Thank you.
And our hope sponsors, Belcor Commercial, LLC, and Penair Credit Union. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
No, it's the truth. I'm telling you, you gotta help me. Don't leave me here. I'm in hillbilly hell. My IQ is dropping by the second. I'm becoming one of them.
All eyes. Ozzy all day. It's not our normal bumper music, but, you know, there's a reason, kind of obviously. So.
A bummer.
Yeah. But, you know, as I always say, when people die, it reminds you of what they contributed to your life. And for his fans, a lot. And for the culture, well, there was that also.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.